Well, a good Monday afternoon, Saskatchewan. I am back. Jamie here with Locker.
Hi.
You changed the settings on the computer, Locker.
I had nothing to do with that.
Hate when you get back and the screen, the font's all way too big because you can't see anything. And I have to change everything.
My goodness. Anything else bothering you?
There's a lot of things bothering me on this Monday. The fact that I'm not camping, that is also grinding my gears. It was a good week up in Good Spirit Lake. We go there every year, at least once a year.
Do you go to the same camping spot? Like, are you lucky enough to get the same?
Oh, no, we're not that lucky.
No,
okay. We probably stayed in every camping spot on the Aspen side of that campground over the last 15 years.
Because you got to be on your game to book spots, especially
I don't have to be on my game. I do not wake up that early to do these things. This is all
that is the least surprising thing I will hear this week.
All my bride that does that stuff
is that your lovely wife books the camping spot.
Yeah, I am not awake, and even if I was, I'd probably do it wrong and book in the wrong province.
It's 7 a.m., isn't it?
Something ridiculous like that.
That's not that early.
I'll have to ask her. Let's get to the starting line.
Good to have you back, Dan. The whole building. Let's go! And now, the starting lineup.
Yes, we begin with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines, and the Jays avoid the sweep against the Dodgers.
The Blue Jays win the ball game. Mason Fluharty with the two biggest outs of his life as he gets Ohtani and Betts with the bases loaded.
Was that a World Series preview over the weekend?
I don't know if we're going to have a Yankees and a Dodgers in the World Series this year. I think we're going to have two very different teams
like
shipping
the
up
the Jays and the Brewers or something like
that. Yeah. Cubs.
We'll have to have a bet with Daryl. Oh, he doesn't bet. Never mind. The Cubbies. That'll get interesting. Britton's a Cubs fan, so we could have some interesting moves going on. But yes, it was the Jays after losing the first two of the weekend, winning 5-4 yesterday against the LA Dodgers. Day off, and then a three-game set against the aforementioned Chicago Cubs for the Toronto Blue Jays.
We'll do a quick little recap here on week 10 in the CFL.
For the Calgary Stampeders to walk it off with a win on the leg of Paredes. Ball is down. Kick is up. Got it.
Lots of close games this week. So the Stampeders getting past the Winnipeg Blue Bombers 28-27. You just heard the highlights there. The Red Blacks surprising the Argos with how many points is that? 88-point game, 46-42 if you missed that one. And the Elks getting much-needed win in Montreal over the Alouettes. That was a surprising finish as well. And the Lions on your Thursday night beating the Ticats. You had the Lions, didn't you?
I had the Lions, I had the Elks, and I had the Stampeders over the Bombers. The Argos blowing it against Ottawa prevented me from going perfect last week in my CFL picks.
I have a quick Reklaws story for you. So on Thursday,
did you meet the Reklaws?
No, I did not meet the Reklaws. So on Thursday,
they're nice.
I'm previewing the Thursday nighter, Lions in Hamilton to take on the Ticats.
Yeah,
and I said that I'm not going to play the Reklaws. I would leave that for you. That seems like a Jamie thing, president of the Reklaws fan club. And the text line went nuts. Probably had 25, 30 texts immediately. Producer Scotty can back me up on that. So then we come out of the commercial break.
Yeah,
and I say, we got so many texts about the Reklaws not playing them on Thursday, so we play them. Then I got 100 texts complaining about the Reklaws. I did not know this.
It's a very
very divisive band.
Oh yes, it is.
And singing song.
Just want to make sure they got played. This is for next time I'm on holidays. That's just a make good for the future when Locker tries to refuse.
I played it.
Play the record.
I played it, and then I took more heat for playing it.
Bet you Scotty played it. Bet you it was Scotty. But when you look at those games in the CFL, A walk-off in overtime, BC Hamilton. A walk-off at the end of the game, Calgary-Winnipeg. Edmonton won with 15 seconds. There's a game winner. It was 15 seconds left. And then and the Ottawa-Toronto was 41 seconds left. Less than a minute total time on the clock when the game-winning points were scored. Week 10 was awesome.
I want Luke Wilson's thoughts on that.
He says he stopped tweeting about the CFL for a little while on his social media.
Was he told to stop tweeting about the CFL?
Does anybody tell Luke Wilson what to do? I don't think so. But
I don't know about that.
Will it be another epic? Saturday, over 30,000 tickets have already been sold for the Riders and the Hamilton Tiger Cats. That's 3,000 away from a sellout at Mosaic.
I'm putting it on the board. We'll get into it in the next hour. Sellout.
Will it be the first sellout of the year? We know it's the Labor Day is already sold out, but technically this would be the first sellout of the year. When it comes to the calendar, with Hamilton coming in town Saturday afternoon for the family game. Meanwhile, other local sports, the Berries and the Red Sox on their way to Curry Field in Regina for game two.
Let me root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. Because it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Yeah, the Red Sox got an 8-7 win over the Berries in game number one. Game two tonight, Curry Field, 7 o'clock is first pitch. President of the Red Sox, Gary Brotzel, with a little bit of a preview for you coming up this hour.
Some exciting ball. And the Berries in the last round lost the first one to Moose Jaw as well at home. And then it had to go back to Moose Jaw, win it, and then anyway.
They had the walk-off grand slam in the decisive game number three.
All right, we'll stick with baseball. The first female to umpire a game behind the plate in the majors, that took place yesterday.
Is ready. We hope you're ready. And here we go. Joey Wentz likes that first call from Jim Powell.
He'll take it.
So Jen Powell, like he said, is her name, and it was during the Marlins-Braves game yesterday. Atlanta's 7-1 win over the Marlins was her first to umpire behind the game. And by all accounts, she did a pretty decent job. She missed one strike is what they were saying.
Yeah, she called a strike when it was just outside the zone.
Just outside.
But there's a somebody who grades all the umpires, and she was almost on par with the expected average. And that's her first game.
There are other
umpires that were better than her on Sunday. There was others worse. She was
so on Saturday. Right, she was in the field.
Yeah,
so that would have gotten her at least a bit of a feel for the game. And then they put her behind the plate. I said last week, I don't know if you agree with me, it's 2025. The fact that this is a first I said it last week as well. I'm not trying to get on the good side of the fairer sex here, but it is surprising. No, Jamie.
Well, I'm going around in the National Hockey League. They're just starting to grade out. Haven't seen in NBA. Yes, we've seen in football. Yes, we've seen it. Of course, it's not regular in football. There's a whole crew in the Canadian Football League and the National Football League, but yeah, it's still in NHL and MLB. It's been a long time coming to have some female representation behind the plate, around the plate as umpires. So, but she graded out as they do with the umpires behind the plate.
Yeah.
Pretty on average on what you get from a major league umpire, a game in, game out. Meanwhile, so NHL news today. Ottawa is moving closer to a new home for the Senators. Of course, the late Eugene Melnyk had a deal completely collapse with the National Capital Commission. They run a lot of the property in the capital region of Ottawa.
Yeah.
That was in 2018. So the new ownership, Michael Andlauer has been working and the Senators have been working. And now we know the Senators and the National Capital Commission have agreed on the sale of 11 acres of land. It's about $30 million was the price tag for the land alone.
Yeah.
So the Senators buy that land. It's official. It's done. They own the land. Now it goes to the development process. They need a decontamination of the site.
I was going to say, there was something to do with contaminated soil or something. Also, I think Eugene just upset everybody.
He was a difficult man to do business with at times during his ownership of the Ottawa Senators.
And he closed a lot of doors. Just
and if you're wondering where LeBreton Flats is in the Ottawa region, if you've been to Parliament Hill, if you've looked at the Peace Tower, and if you're looking at the Peace Tower, you're going to look left. That is west. You're going to walk about 20 minutes. And you'll be at the new site of the new arena.
Okay.
It's a little closer than Kanata, Ontario, where the current building is for the Ottawa Senators. So,
well, that's good news. I have heard, too, in the past, like that getting those types of approvals for a project like that in any city is not easy. So,
especially for the National Capital Commission. In Ottawa.
Yeah.
So that land has been purchased by the Ottawa Senators. Now it goes through. There's still more hurdles, but that is a big hurdle to clear, is get that land sold for the new home of the Sens. Coming up next here on the Green Zone. I have a few things to catch up on here, Locker.
Can't wait to get your thoughts on smelling salts.
That's one of the stories I missed, apparently, as well as a young Canadian tennis star on the rise. And the video, I was baffled by the video of the mascot for the Seattle Kraken getting attacked by a bear. That's next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Locker with you here in the Green Zone on this Monday. I am back after a week off. Loving every minute of it through Saskatchewan and the Good Spirit area, Provincial Park. One of the top beaches in Canada, Locker.
Haven't been there yet. That's a place on our list. When I talked camping last week, that came in. Good Spirit came in quite a bit.
Paddleboarding? Great little spot to paddleboard, too.
Wife loves to paddleboard.
Anyways, there's a few things I missed last week. The smelling salts ban.
Then it wasn't a ban.
I heard about Drew Remendous' thoughts on that from last week. Apparently, he's a big fan of the smelling salts ban banter. But it's... I know what it is, that where everyone is, and you can, you know, hide concussion symptoms. Of course,
they mask concussion symptoms, possibly.
Of course, that's where the NFL is going to go legally and everything else. Although it's like bring your own doesn't seem like the greatest policy to me.
I don't know if that's a great idea.
Probably best if you're going to allow it to bring your own.
You know, there's difference.
Have like the team doctors and athletic therapists give it to you rather than.
But no, they can't. They're not allowed to.
I know they're not anymore, but it's. But bring your own seems a little stupid.
You know, there's stronger ones too, right? Like they have different levels.
Have you ever tried
once?
One? I've never.
I talked about it last week. We had a guy on our hockey team.
Nothing
that used
looks
to do
fun
them.
About it. To try it.
No, I was one and done. I'm like, I can't see this being a good idea.
This was a heck of a moment last week.
The maiden of Montreal, at just 18 years of age, Victoria Mboko completes a magnificent run to her first tour title.
Yes, the Canadian in Canada, 18 years old. And up next, of course, U.S. Open chatter. Bianca Andreescu, what I found interesting was she won the U.S. Open, beat Serena Williams. I'll never forget that day. We used to do watch parties for Ryder away games, and it was the Banjo Bowl.
Yes, and would have been around that time,
they
right?
were getting their absolute butts whooped, the Riders, and it was on during the same time as the U.S. Open Women's Final, and we asked the bar, do you want us to turn the football game off and watch tennis? And the bar, they're all in Rider jerseys, went, yep! So we turned the TV to the tennis and watched Bianca Andreescu beat Serena Williams, and then watched
it was 2019.
The Bombers continue to kick the Riders' butt. I can't remember how it would have 2019, 2018, sometime
like
in
that.
There.
Yeah.
So, yes.
She's kind of the last big name in female tennis.
And real quick, that video from the Seattle Kraken mascot Bowie getting ran at by a bear Could you? Because the joke is, what do you do when you attack a bear? Just be faster than at least one more person. That mascot would have been the slowest guy out of the water. That was terrifying when that bear goes, yeah, I'm going to go check this guy out, and does the little rumble at him.
I don't know what this says about me, but quite often when I see videos like that, I'm cheering for the animal.
No! Probably would have had a plumbing problem in that mascot.
Jamie Locker with you here in the Green Zone as we're going to talk some local baseball. The WCBL playoffs are underway. Of course, we're in the East Final. It is Saskatoon versus Regina. Good old Highway 11 rivalry heating up in the second year of the Berries. The first time these two teams have faced off in the playoffs. And game two goes tonight, Curry Field, after the Red Sox went into Saskatoon and got a win in game number one. They will try to end it tonight in Regina. Gary Brotzel, president of the Regina Red Sox. First off, Gary, how are we looking for tickets sold for this 7 o'clock start tonight between the Berries and Red Sox?
Well, funny you mention that, guys. I'm just in our ticketing system right now, and we're over 1,200. So
closing in.
She's going to be a full house.
Because it's 15 capacity, or do you just...
Well, we've shoehorned 17 in. I don't know if we have an official capacity. It's however many we...
How much are those shoehorn tickets?
There's a lot of standing room only you can get at a Red Sox game, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll set some bleachers up on the hill.
That's the next one. Fence that off. There you go.
Yeah.
Bleachers on the hill. How important is this series? It's the first one between Regina and Saskatoon. New ownership of Regina. The Berries came in red hot. Because as the things go by the next few years, this could turn into one of the great of the WCBL. But how important is the playoffs to ramp up a rivalry?
Well, for us, it's really important. Our playoff success hasn't, been great the last couple of years. So just getting into round two was a nice first step for us. I know the guys aren't happy with being in round two and, being happy with that. I mean, they want to go all the way and get to the finals and win the league.
Gary, that win last night, let's get your thoughts on it, because it was an exciting way to wrap one up.
Yeah, it was. Of course, Saskatoon had a long night the night before. They may have been a little bit tired. It was a good opportunity for us on 2 days rest to go in and win game one, and it was mission accomplished for us. So, we're happy with the way it turned out.
Going into tonight, I was wondering, does Landon Riley get the ball? Has that decision been made? He was a late add, of course, coming up to the Regina Red Sox. Pretty good right-handed pitcher.
Yeah, exactly. Landon is starting tonight, and Chris Spry will get the ball tomorrow if need be. So we got our one and two guys fully rested, and we kind of had to piece it together a little bit yesterday. We lost our whole starting rotation that we had at the start of the year. They're all gone, so we've had to retool a little bit right at the deadline, and it took a little bit to gel as a team, and we've done that. Everybody believes in everybody in that dugout, and everybody's playing hard right now.
Yesterday, you get the win in Saskatoon, game two tonight in Regina. Does it matter in the playoffs? Is there any home field advantage, or is it just like, let's just get her done?
Yeah, I don't think there is. We've had some good success on the road, and even in the Moose Jaw series there, Moose Jaw Saskatoon series, Moose Jaw played Saskatoon very tough on the road. And, we had success last night on the road. We had success in the regular season in Saskatoon. So, yeah, I don't think it matters right now. Baseball's a funny game. It's a game of inches and a game of breaks and a game of close calls. So, we expect a very tough game tonight.
Gary Brotzel joining us, president of the Regina Red Sox, already 1,200 sold for tonight. They'll try to shoehorn $2,000 in there, Gary? What do you think?
Sure. Let's go with that.
Go for the shoehorn special tonight?
The concessions will be lined up to the co-op.
Yeah. Gary, it's interesting. If someone heard that and went, wait, your whole starting rotation, what? And of course, Jackson Searing, he gets a different opportunity. How on your toes do you have to be in this league as a collegiate summer league on the changes and having to have a crop of players on the horn ready to go to fly up here to maybe fill a roster spot? And how you and Rye put into this and everybody across this league to make sure they're fielding a competitive team at this time of year when changes can be made?
Yeah, it's really tough right now, and it might be getting worse. A lot of schools now are very hesitant to let their pitchers go all summer, and they're watching innings closely. And quite frankly, I don't get that. Why, a pitcher can't stay around till mid-August. No one plays any meaningful games in college till at least October in the fall, and really everything revolves around the spring season. So to me, I have trouble wrapping my head around that part of it. But I mean, credit to Rye, he recruited a really good starting rotation. We went with a lot of senior pitchers, and we had them poached by independent pro teams.
That's crazy. See, you must, Gary, does your heart skip a beat every time someone knocks on your door?
It does. And
I didn't even think of it from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, Anderson there signed an independent pro contract. He pitched four innings and he's been cut. And Rye's warned those guys. It's a dog eat dog world out there, and the next level is tougher. And none of our players that made the next step are having any kind of real success right now. So in my mind, they would have been better off finishing the season here and then taking a shot at it. But of course, I'm being selfish.
Well, you're allowed. When you run a summer baseball team, you can be selfish. But what do you expect out of the Berries? You saw the Moose Jaw win game one, and then Berries bounce back in a big way in game two of that series.
Well, they're a very good team, top to bottom. I mean, this is going to be a dogfight for sure tonight, and anything can happen. I know our team has the greatest respect for everything they've done in Saskatoon, and it's shaping up to be a great rivalry, that's for sure.
What do you need to do tonight to be successful against the Berries, Gary?
Well, for us, it comes down to pitching. I just talked about, all the pitching we've lost. Landon will have to come out and throw a good game. We'll need some help from the bullpen sooner than later. And offensively, I think we can swing it with everybody, and our defense is very good. So, it always comes down to pitching in the playoffs, who has the most and who does the best.
Well, the business of this league, how important is it? Another gate, so to speak, for the Regina Red Sox on the business side?
Oh, it's huge. We run a pretty tight budget, and a couple extra playoff games is usually the difference between breaking even and putting a couple dollars in the bank.
So, if people don't have a ticket, Gary, where do they go?
Well, you can buy tickets online on our website, regineredsox.com. There's still lots available. There's 200 or 300 you can still buy. And that's only because we put a limit in our ticketing system. And if it fills up, just come in and we'll take your money and let you walk in.
We'll shoehorn you.
We'll shoehorn you in. There's no such thing as a sellout at Curry Field.
maybe in a new place down the road there will be, but as I said, lots of standing room at Curry.
You're obviously, absolutely, Gary, you're paying attention to what's happening in the West, and Sylvan Lake takes a early lead in that series with Okotoks out of those two teams. Can you speak to, we don't want to look too far ahead, but obviously you're looking at that next opponent. What do you, out of the West right now, who do you like on that side?
Well, Sylvan Lake's playing very well. You know, I'd like to see Okotoks not win for a change. I think it would be good for the league to have someone else come out of the West. We had good success with Sylvan Lake. We played them here. We had them here twice this year. We didn't play them there, but we actually beat them pretty handedly. The two games we played them here, it was like 10-2, 12-1, something like that. But that was with early in the season with a different roster than we have now. So, you know, it's kind of hard to project what would happen.
Of course, Okotoks going for the four-peat, but we'll see what Sylvan Lake can do in game number two. Gary, best of luck tonight. I know it's going to be a packed I know you can't pack Curry Field, but it'll be packed at Curry Field tonight. Best of luck. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Gary.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
That is Gary Pratzel, president of the Regina Red Sox. Of course, you can still buy your tickets online, and if they're sold out there, there's standing room only at the gate at Curry Field.
The rivalry, right?
Well, this is a good thing.
This is great for this league, and you know, these
private ownership coming into Regina now as the Queen City Sports and Entertainment Group, who own the Regina Pats. They take over the Regina Red Sox.
Yeah.
There's going to be a little bit more investment in things. And you're seeing how Saskatoon, they broke the record, most wins already. They have private owners with the Priesters and the Saskatoon Sports Group. A little more investment. As Gary, when they made that sale or the turn the keys over, he talked about it here on the Green Zone. Gary was very open. Private ownership is going to be the way this league is going, and you better get on board with it. Unfortunately, that hampers some of the other teams, like the smaller teams in Swift Current and Weyburn, et cetera. But it's the reality you do in business.
I knew there was turnover in this league. I didn't realize.
It's crazy.
To the extent.
Like all of a sudden a kid's agent gets a call and I'm going to go to Chattahooga. See you later. And you're out a starting pitcher. So you got to get on the horn and find another one.
For the Red Sox to have to. They've replaced their entire starting lineup pitching.
Yeah, Rye's done a very good job.
That's crazy.
Of the Red Sox. So tonight, 7 o'clock, first pitch, Berries and the Red Sox. It is game number two of the best of three.
7 o'clock start.
Could end tonight, or Saskatoon pushes another one back to Cairns Field in Saskatoon for a decisive game number three. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, 5 years ago today, August the 11th, you were watching hockey. And a lot of hockey on August the 11th, 5 years ago today. We'll remember an epic overtime on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Bridge Farm remembers.
On this day in sports history, it was August the 11th, and we were watching a epic marathon hockey game in the NHL playoffs.
I forgot about this until we were talking about it today, how the whole that year, because of what we were going through, the whole schedule got shifted.
Yeah. The playoffs started in August.
Yeah.
After the delay because of the pandemic.
The weird bubble.
And in the Toronto bubble, Tampa Bay and the Columbus Blue Jackets went to the fourth longest NHL playoff game in history. And it ended like this.
Kucherov again scuffs that hit Gavrikov. They score! It's fired by Braden Point. The shot hit Gavrikov, came back to Point, and he fires it in for the game-winning goal in overtime number five.
Yes, five overtimes. The game just over 150 minutes long. It was scored at 90 minutes of the fifth overtime for the Tampa Bay Lightning in Game 1 against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Of course, Tampa would go on and win the Stanley Cup
that year, yes.
In the COVID bubbles in Toronto and Edmonton.